Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so truly happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background on the podcast. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. My mission is to expand that quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So I've created this space so that I can get to talk to people that have all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have had the honor to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, doctor, lawyer, and so many more. And the idea is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all of this and incorporating it into your world daily, I promise you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So, let me introduce my inspiring guest for today is
Albert Orzos. He found some common success patterns that are the same everywhere, and they involve the mastery of communication, and personal relationships, which ultimately translates into influence, permission, and leadership. He is on a mission to empower business owners with tools, tactics, and strategies to support the way of conducting business with systems that create a predictably prosperous cash flow. Sorry, I'm not wearing my glasses. I need to be wearing them. So, wow, Albert, welcome to the space. So great to have you here. So after reading your bio, if you could expand a little bit before we jump into the questions. I didn't read everything about your bio because it's pretty expansive, but your sales, I want you to tell a little bit more, which we will dive into more, but about, I love how you mentioned sales and relationships. I think it's just such an important point. And you have sold from literally underwear to diamonds.
Yes.
You sold this whole, so if you could just give people a little backstory on what you've done up to this point, that'd be great before we dive into the questions.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a great question. And I indeed did sold and trained people on selling everything from rum cake, vanilla, t-shirts, flip-flops, to diamonds and fine art, to Rembrandts and Picasso, Chagall, Dalis, Renoirs, and similar. And what I do believe that there's a common denominator in entire world in all matters of selling and all matters of business, and that is people. People connect, do business with people. People sell, influence, persuade, negotiate, and lead other people. So in my mind, it's all about mastering personal relationships and communication. It doesn't really matter what's the product. It doesn't really matter, you know, where you are, what's your social economic background, you know, what's your history, and what's your ethnicity. Does not really matter. If we have the ability to connect with another person, that actually gives us power and empowers us to serve others in form of selling, leading, negotiating, whatever you want to call it. And I actually embarked my journey many years ago, actually 28 now when I think about it, when I was five. Right next to my building here in Zagreb, Croatia, where I grew up, they would have free aerobics classes every summer. And there would be hundreds of women at the time going there because it was under a very large tent that would be there all year long. And my mom would attend and she would schlep me with her, you know, because, it was something that was happening around the building. She didn't want to leave me to be by myself in the home. And I was like a little mascot there, and with a few grown-ups, I concocted the idea, which was very creative, if you will, to sell lemonade there because it was logical, you know, they were all huffing and puffing and sweating and it was hot. So I employed my mother, you know, free labor, and we set up a lemonade stand, and it was a smashing hit, quote unquote, obviously. But, you know, looking back at it right now, you know, I obviously didn't have the words to articulate it as I have right now. But looking back at it right now, that was a pivotal point in my life because I had an entrepreneurial win, a success that got me hooked. And, you know, since then, I was always looking for ways, how can I contribute in the market and get paid in the process? And that hustle, if you will, is something that have never abandoned me. And then many years after, I decided that I want to try my luck in the U.S. corporate world. And,
Hello? Hold on, Albert.
I had a phone call. I'm here. I got a phone call.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
And I did not know what I did not know. I didn't have all the fancy business education, and I didn't know all the skills that I know right now. But I had an indefatigable desire to find a way or to make one, and I had that ability to connect with people. And then as I grew, I've read hundreds of books on personal development, sales, persuasion, marketing, and all that good stuff. I've learned incredible techniques. I realized that my success, or quote unquote success, and everything that I was able to achieve along that way was based on that, because I had the virtue of connecting with people and creating relationships. And then when I actually learned everything that I've learned in my life and business, I realized that that's the strongest foundation. If you have that, everything else is, I don't want to say gratuitous, it is helpful, it is conducive, but it's all rooted in that. And if people can understand that, there would be a lot more people empowered in business and in sales and, you know, in life in general, because, you know, everywhere and everything that we do in life, we need that influence, right? You know, whether that be with your children, with your friends, family members, co-workers, your employees, your business partners, even with yourself. We need to influence ourselves every day. We need to sell ourselves on the idea, on our goals, on our desires, on our dreams, on what's possible so we can contribute more of ourselves. So basically, it's communication with ourselves, relationship with ourselves, but actually that's also mirrored in the outward direction as well with everyone else. It's a long-winded answer, but I hope it is.
No, I love it. Oh my gosh. First of all, I have to acknowledge, I love that you said the word schlep. Because that's, you know, within Judaism, within, you know, all of that, it's, you know, that's just a word that you say. You're schlepping here, you're schlepping there. So I heard that and I just laughed, so I had to acknowledge that. But as the story, I know it's like your story, which is such a great point to start when you were five. I think of the movie Robots. I don't know if you ever saw the kids' movie, animated movie Robots. But as he's creating something, his father says to him, or one of the characters says, you see a need, you fill a need. So the whole thing with the lemonade, you saw a need and you filled it. It just made sense. You know, they're huffing and puffing. What can I give them to drink? It's not just for you to make money. You're thinking, how can I help them? Which I love what you're pointing out. That's everything that you're saying is about this connection, this about relationships. It's not about me. It's about how can I help them? How can I serve them?
Exactly.
So I think that's really, it's really beautiful. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. To add to that, I mean, that's the one of the most important tenets of business, I would say. Is it's not about you. It's not about what you can get. It's not about what you're looking after. Obviously, you want to focus on certain goals and desires and certain numbers that you want to, you know, attain for yourself or your family, a lifestyle that you want to create. That's nice, but that must be a byproduct of your service and value that you give. And if people have the ability to have that paradigm, that focus, that you go there and serve, you go there to give, you go there to serve lemonade to thirsty women that are there huffing and puffing, the byproduct of that they're happy, it's natural, it's a seamless transition into that. Byproduct is that they're going to buy that lemonade, and byproduct is that you're going to have your goals also achieve whatever that may be. So I think that's a great point that you have made over there.
Well, it seems really basic, but at the same time, it's not basic, because so many people get caught up in their head. And I love how you also already pointed out about communication, communication with self, communication with others. But I think it's so much about building trust. I find it in the classroom as well, for so many years being in the classroom space, but then also being in all these other spaces, building relationships and connections with people, is that you want to have that sense of trust with people. You want them to trust you, you trust them, you want to create this safe space so then they can feel like they want to, you know, take it to the next level with you and whatever that looks like.
Absolutely, 100% agree with that. And it's the same, whether that be business, whether that be personal relationship, trust is the foundation. You know, we need to trust ourselves. When I say, for example, I'm going to go to the gym every day, you know, do you really trust yourself when you make that statement, right? So you have to have that trust. And in business, you know, all things being equal, people will do business with people that they like and trust. All things not being equal, people will still do rather business with people that they like and trust. It's very, very basic, it's foundational, but that's the challenge that I see very often. People dismiss things that are simplistic, that are foundational, as being as such, and then they don't do it. And if you omit that out of your patterns, out of your thinking, out of a focusing on that, you miss out on many great things. Because if you cover the foundations properly, you know, you have created tremendous momentum. And it's so powerful. I teach people how to get better at sales, and I teach them the mechanics. That's a big part of it. You know, what to say, how to say from A to Z, from open to close. And it's important. Yes, absolutely. And it's helpful and conducive. But if I would say, and I always start with that, you know, I always first teach some basic fundamental things that we use every single day with people, with friends, with our family members. And if we just cover that basics, and yeah, we just go with that intent into those relationships, we would not need any fancy, or it doesn't have to be fancy, you know, elegant clothes and, you know, ways how to help people make a decision that is most compelling. You know, foundations. And, you know, I'm just going to give you for short, quickly, just that maybe, you know, your listeners can avail themselves of that, is, you know, one of the first tools in sales and persuasion and influence and leadership and negotiation is rapport. Rapport is when you have a communication that is going in two ways, where there's an understanding, there's a cognitive resonance between two minds. Now, there's many ways that you can actually achieve rapport with people. You know, you can give them a compliment. You can talk about some commonalities, common interests that you have. You can make someone smile. You know, they immediately like you. You can ask questions. In fact, questions are very, very powerful. But one of the most powerful ways how to build and create rapport is by active listening. Listening actually exacts more energy than speaking. And when there is active listening involved in any type of relationship with another person, there is that seamless resonance. There's a match. And when you all have the ability to articulate someone's situation or predicament or where they are right now in a better way that they can do themselves, you have tremendous amount of trust. So I think listening is the most powerful one. Second one is questions. And I put it slightly below rapport, because sometimes if you ask questions and if you don't have that rapport, and if it's intimate to a question, something that, you know, it really goes about the money or about the situation, something, some vulnerable questions, if you don't have that rapport, they're not going to answer it. Or if they do answer it, they're not going to answer truthfully. But questions are super, super powerful. I'm going to keep it short over here just to explain it, because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. Questions, they uncover needs, wants, desires, proclivities, goals, past experiences. They also uncover any objections that someone may have. Why wouldn't they want to take that action? You can actually also handle those objections as well with great questions. You uncover values. You can align with those values, and you can show them later how making a decision can be actually in alignment and consistent with those values that you have uncovered. Third, quickly, it is congruency. What that means is that's that trust and likability factor, because congruency means that your verbal communication and nonverbal communication matches. If you say yes and you are nodding your head that looks like no, obviously they're not gonna trust you. So everything must be a match. If I say, listen, we were gonna do this till the 15th, yes, I'm gonna deliver it to the end of the month, yes, we're gonna, give you this or that. They need to feel it in every sense of that word, with your tonality, body language, voice timbre, and all that good stuff. That must say unequivocally exactly the same thing. And the final thing is state management. Because at the end of the day, what influence is transfer of emotion, transfer of certainty, clarity, conviction, courage, compassion, empathy, sympathy. And you need to be able to transfer them in the right type of moment, but also you can't really transfer what you don't have. And also, if you sometimes have in a negotiation in business, how do you handle your disappointments? You need to be able to discipline your disappointments, because if you get disappointed, if you get negative, it doesn't matter how effective and how good your service, product is, you're going to transfer that uncertainty, and they will not be compelled to take that action. So four tools that are super basic, super, super simplistic. You don't have to know anything. And I know as a fact that knowing these and exercising these, that can actually increase anyone's production and ability to connect with people on a whole nother level. It's just about rapport. It's about questions. It's about being congruent and manage your state. That's it. And this is, you know, obviously there's much deeper levels that I teach, but this foundation is game changing very often.
Oh my gosh. Well, we're going to use this. I know that we're going to be referring back to this often as we continue the conversation and go through the questions. But I want to start off with a would you rather question. And since you mentioned exercise, I picked this one specifically for you, Albert. So would you rather be an incredibly fast swimmer or a fast runner?
I would rather be a fast runner.
Okay. Do you like to swim at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And humble as I am, I think I'm a tremendously good swimmer.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done a, so for people who do not know Albert, you are really into exercise. So, indeed. Which is actually, we're going to explore more into the second question, but have you ever done a triathlon or anything?
Not really. Like the like an Ironman or exercise or something like that, but
I have the running, swimming, and biking.
Yes. Yeah. I was involved in these type of exercises, but this is something that you need to be fully committed. This is not something that you can dabble in, and I've never had the time and ability to commit to that.
Yeah, it really is a lot of time. My husband did like two Spartan races, and they're like 5 miles of just insanity to me, but I really admire him for all that he does. Just running, going up steps, carrying jugs of water, going across monkey bars, like the whole kind of thing. Yeah.
It's impressive. I have a friend who, very good friend of mine, who's, you know, actually was doing it semi-professionally, you know, a little bit professionally, even like Ironman. So the highest level of triathlon. And it's really insane. And you can't really say, oh, I'm going to try a little bit and see how it goes. You can't. You have to say, that's what I'm doing, and I'm committing my life to it. Because you have to be 100% in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so this is going to be good. So the first question is, so Albert, how do you define creativity?
I define creativity as ability to think outside of the nine dots, outside of general beliefs, and thinking what's possible, so you can contribute more of yourself in whatever area that is.
Did you say the nine dots?
Nine dots. You know the whole thinking outside of the box question, you know, the expression is like we have nine dots and you have to connect all of the dots. The only way how you can do this is that you need to go outside of the box so you connect them all. So you think outside of the nine dots.
And I love that. I've never heard that before in the sense of saying nine dots. Yeah, sorry, yeah. I cut you off.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, that's only the creative person will be able to see that if mm-hmm. they don't know it before. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So going outside the box. So to think outside the nine dots, general beliefs. So you said general beliefs can contribute.
So challenge your beliefs in the beliefs of society that are considered to be true. So you can then contribute more of yourself in whatever that area is. Because if you contribute more of yourself, then others can do that as well. Because creativity, obviously, it's a very broad spectrum, you know, in which way. But it starts within the mind, within the 2 ears that we have.
Yeah.
It goes outwards.
Have you viewed yourself as a creative?
I'm a bit of a mixture, I would say, amalgamation. I can be, and I try to be a creative as much as possible. I do fall back on a lot of logical stuff and a lot of routines, system structure and proportion where I feel comfortable, but I always give myself time to be creative and think outside of the nine dots, because this is where growth, true growth, leapfrog moment growth happens. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love talking to people who do, I mean, the whole purpose of this space is to really connect with people who, you know, like I say in the intro, who do all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests. So I love talking to people who are business-minded, that within science and these different, you know, quote-unquote logical areas, to talk about the topic, because I've had so many people come on and they're like, Hollis, I have no idea why you invited me here. Like, I am not a creative person. And I'm like, this is why we're having this conversation, is to expand the definition on how you see it. Because the definition of creativity, when you look it up, is the formation of an idea or an object. So we're doing this all the time. But we've been given this societal, in my view, we've been given the societal definition of what creativity is, which usually has a bend towards the visual arts, acting, singing, you know, all of that kind of stuff, dance. And it kind of discounts everybody else, which it's not to take away from people who do those things. I went to art school, all of this kind of thing. I understand the visual art realm. But the goal is I love hearing from people about, you know, how they obviously see it, but I want them to feel empowered to own their voice and see themselves within that light. Because business, with everything that you're doing, everything that you're talking about, interpersonal relationships, connection, listening, there is so much creativity in every act that you just mentioned.
I 100% agree, you know, and as you said, a lot of societal consensus is that creativity is like if you go in front of the canvas and you start painting, you know, like Picasso or like Rembrandt or whatever, or, you know, you can fold Legos in a way that is fascinating. I mean, that is a very high level of creativity, but creativity can be is like if you are calling, cold calling as a business person or as a sales professional, you're cold calling from 9 to 5 and you think to yourself, okay, when is the boss or the owner or the CEO in the office? Maybe he's going to be staying longer a little bit because he wants to take care of all the paperwork. Maybe he's going to be at 7 p.m. when everyone is actually, you know, away from the job, and you call later or earlier. So, you know, they come first. So do you call earlier when no one is actually in? So you can communicate and talk only with a person. That's creativity in my mind, you know, and it has nothing to do with, you know, visual ability to create. It's just about exercising that outside of the nine dots thinking. So I 100% agree.
Well, what you just said in that, to me, it's problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a matter of thinking through it, kind of using your imagination, you know, it's thinking through the steps. And there's like an imaginative process to me in that. And it's like, okay, well, you're, you know, talking through it, seeing it. Well, everybody's going to be here at this time, da da da. But the boss is going to be there later to take care of stuff. So that's the perfect time to call. So that whole, that process of thinking, that problem solving aspect is a huge part of it.
Absolutely. And you know, here's the thing. I teach people sales, and there's a lot of science backed research. I talk a lot about psychology, certain meta programs, which shows you clearly how people act, interact, react, you know, and you can see actually and connect the dots that are foundational and that are unequivocal. But yet again, every type of conversation, every type of sales linguistic encounter is an art form because every single person is different. Every person reacts different. Every person has different needs or wants and desires. So it's never the same. There are certain aspects that are the same, but it's an art form and there's a lot of creativity and you gotta be quick on your feet. You know, you need to be able to adjust your sales accordingly. And when I say sales, I mean like, as a metaphor, but also as in sales, you adjust your sales accordingly and you go to the outcome and to the goal. And I think, you know, everything, it can use creativity. And in fact, it's mandated if you want to be successful in any area of your life.
Yes, 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 yes. I love how you just said that, how it's basically, it is. Selling is an art form. There's so many components to it, which all boil down to, you know, I love your step process. It's really all about connection. And I love the active listening part to really notice, like assessing what people need. I mean, if I'm selling ice, in a hot, if I'm selling ice where it's not needed, then people don't care. Like, why? But if it's listening and if it's seeing what people need and then figuring, you know, how to address them, that whole step process, then you're going to have more success and you're going to have more trust and more connection, all that kind of stuff. My son just started, I'm sorry, I just cut you off.
No, you're good.
My son just started door-to-door sales and for a roofing company. He's 21 years old. So talk about, you know, we talk about this every day. It's like, this is so perfect because you're never going to be in a tougher experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, slamming doors on your face, all this kind of stuff. But he's finding ways, just as you're talking, like there's the art form. He's finding his style. He's finding ways to ask people questions. Instead of before he jumps into his pitch, he'll notice something about the house or the plants or the car, and he'll ask them a question for us or make a comment. I really love how you planted these, you know, the flowers. It looks so beautiful, and it's not coming from a fake space. So it's creating more engagement.
100%. And the thing is, you know, when we genuinely express interest to understand a unique point of view of another person and they can sense that, there's a level of trust that is so powerful and, again, foundational. Because here's the thing, you know, even if you do need new roof, as an example, you have, you know, leaks and all that stuff. But if I just come here and say, hey, listen, you need new roof, you need to do this right now, and that's it. People don't like to be told what to do, right? But if I ask, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, situation, how long do you have this roof? And they tell me about it. Then they say, hey, listen, you know, how does it make you feel, you know, that it's leaking? You know what, Albert? I don't like it. I really don't like that situation. Right. And then I say, hey, luckily I'm here, you know, because we can actually solve that problem for you. Then it's logical. It makes sense because it's a dialogue. It's a communication. Like, you have a challenge. You have a problem. You have an issue. I have a solution. Let me try to understand to see if that solution will be a right fit on how we can actually modify it to be the perfect fit. And they're going to say, Albert, of course I'm going to give you my business because you truly understand what my need is. I trust you. I like you. And that's what you're offering. It actually is custom tailored to my roof. Yes, let's do the business. But if I come in and say, hey, you need this roof, look how this looks, your children is going to be, you know, growing up in this and, you know, starting to, you know, open up the pain and wounds and all that stuff, which, you know, old used car salespeople would do, you know, that doesn't work. You know, people are too sophisticated for that. And they're going to say, you know what, I need a new roofing maybe, but I'm going to buy it from someone else. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes. Yeah, it's always just going to continually go back to the connection.
Relationship,
Before you did sales, did you, like in your teens, in your earlier 20s, did you work in any restaurants? Did you do customer service in that way as well, or?
Oh, yeah, I worked at, like, everything. I did a lot of odd jobs, you know, in my youth, you know, from pizza delivery and restaurants and everything in between. I learned a lot there as well. And then looking back at it right now, when I articulate it, I can see that, you know, what I'm doing right now, I always have done on some level.
And there is some unconscious competence that I had, which definitely served me. And then when I learned it and I've seen it, then it kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. It made definitely sense. You know, some of the things made sense. And then also, you know, it was easy to add up on top of that because it was just logical. And it was something that was, it was just seamless. Yeah.
Isn't it amazing as you get older, you just kind of start to, you just have perspective. Like somebody asked me a question yesterday in an interview. It came up, you know, I wasn't a kid that knew what I didn't have these dreams of what I wanted to be when I grew up. I just kind of was always in the moment of where I was. And there's probably a lot of unpacking that could be involved in this, but I just didn't really think about it so much. So as I got, you know, high school graduating, you know, I was like, well, I always have liked art, and I ended up going to art school. And even though I was told I couldn't, and then I ended up falling into teaching. I never knew I was going to teach, and 30 years later was doing it. And growing and changing, but seeing my consistent message the whole time in everything I did was always, you have your own voice and you are a creative being. It's always been there. And I, even when I was working in restaurants and customer service and everything, so like you're saying, it's what it made me think is with the perspective, I didn't have the thinking when I was young of, yes, this is what I'm gonna do. But now looking back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it was there the whole time.
Yeah, perspective is a powerful powerful tool. Sometimes, alas, it takes time for us to get it, but better to get it than not to get it, and hopefully rather sooner than later. But it's a powerful, powerful tool.
Yeah. So let's move on to question number two, which is what are things you do for yourself? How do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Well, I always look for new ways how I can improve myself. You know, I'm constantly committed to never ending improve my ways of thinking, my ways of conducting myself, my ways of teaching and learning. And for that, I need creativity. So I follow a very strict regimen or structure in terms of goal setting, and you know, I try to have like almost like a mathematical constituent, you know, all the steps that I need to take to get to the goal that I have set for myself. But I also carve times in the schedule where I let myself be creative. I let myself be surprised. I let my brain go in any and every direction that I want, to be surprised, to be, to have the fascinating discovery. Because at the end of the day, you know, this life that we are in, it's a endlessly fascinating journey of discovery, and we need to inspire that. We need to enthuse that in our mind. We need to let ourselves and allow us to discover things. So I do that. I carve time in my schedule, and I let my mind just go, and I just write things in journal and just think, what can I do? How can I do? And it just, I let it free flow.
I love how you said you actually carve time to be surprised. It's like these opposites, you know, when it comes out of the mouth, it's like, I carve the time, which is kind of logical, to be surprised. But it's, yes, you set it into your schedule to actually let it happen, which is amazing. So much of people get so caught up, don't you find, in I'm too busy. Even when you say go out into nature, they're like, I'm just, what are you talking about? I'm so busy, I don't have time. It's like, you don't have 10 minutes? 10 minutes to walk outside? You know?
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, but that's why I think that's creativity as well, in my mind. Because we live in such a structured way, and you know, governed by the certain structures that we give ourselves, and you know, whether we understand it, whether it's intentional or not intentional. But you know, like I said, counterintuitive, but carve time to get to be surprised. And you know what, You have no choice. You have made a decision that you committed to that decision, and then you let it go. And then you have no distractions because you have set yourself for that success, if you will, or whatever that is going to be. But you set everything up to have that moment for yourself, to have that creative space. That's the thing. We are inundated with so many distractions right now that we live in, especially with social media, with cell phones in our pocket that are ringing, with all the notification, right, and all the social network possibilities that we have, that we just, you know, we do not let our brain think. We just react all day.
Yes.
So we need to be proactive a little bit. So I let that proactivity work for me.
Yes, 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 we do. We are in reaction all day. Instead of responding and taking that breath and moving, you know, it's been said so many times, it's, you know, you need to just be still and be calm and meditate and all this and just not do. And people feel like, you know, we just constantly have to move. It's hard not to move your body. Because, and you're constantly thinking, well, I need to be doing this. I need to be doing the laundry. I need to be doing that. But that point in, and what you say and what I say through what I do, is you need to have that space in order to let it flow, to do nothing, which I am honestly been practicing too, of like my morning routine. And I want to actually ask about your morning routine. Is I'll make my drink in the morning. I'll go outside because the weather's gotten nice. Sit on our chairs outside and just look at the sky and listen to the birds and try to let it go. Because before, prior to doing this, I would just get up and just start and answer emails and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, Hala, stop. Like, enough. Practice what you preach here. It's like, get that routine of journaling, of that free flowing, of asking my guides and angels the messages that I need to hear for the day. And I swear, when I do that, it's not me coming through, because things come out where I'm like, I don't know where that came from. And I'm just so appreciative surprised. And grateful for it. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's so important. And it, as you said, you know, we get up first thing. So very many people that I know, first thing they do, they check their cell phone, they check their notifications and emails and all that stuff, like they are gonna go somewhere if they don't, if they're not checked in the first 15 minutes of arising. I'm a big believer in a morning routine as well, and my morning routine changes with depending on the goals and, you know, the things that I'm involved with in different projects. And, you know, before Corona, I was traveling a lot. Past decade, I could travel over 100 plus countries around the world. So obviously, you know, these things are malleable, but I always do have a certain routine that I'm actually very focused on. And like you said, you know, when I wake up, first thing that I do, always without a shadow of a doubt, that happens every single time, is I make myself some sort of a lemon water or wheatgrass or barley grass or some sort of concoction, a big bucket of water, if you will. And I mean, like, big, you know, like 2 liters of water.
Wow.
And at least I drink like 2/3 of it immediately, because, you know, I want to break the fast of sleeping. You know, because body is draining all of the juices and you're thirsty. And I want to increase the alkalinity in my body. I'm a big believer in that without going too into depths, you know, that. I want to get my body moving. I want to get all my cells fired up, and I want to give them water. I want to give them oxygen. I'm going to give them alkalinity. I drink that water, whatever that be. You know, if I'm in a hotel, if I don't have my things, I'm just going to have squeeze the lemon into that water, and that's it. You know, if I'm at my home, I'm going to do a big old drink. Then when that is done, I try to do combination of different things. Just depends, you know, where we are right now. But the things that I focus on, I want to give myself a little bit of time for thinking, a little bit of a gratitude time. And gratitude is so important because it's antidote of fear. And it's also keeping you checked in your mind, because we are, if we start constantly pursuing, start thinking what we're missing, start reacting on all the days, all the urgent things that we have to handle, then that's stress. That is not good for your creativity. It's not good for your mind. It's not good for your health. It's not good for anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I give myself a little bit of gratitude, and I've tried longer periods of gratitude. Like I give them like an hour or something like that. Many years ago, I've been to Tony Robbins seminar. I learned a lot of great things there. You know, with an hour of power that he calls it, priming the day. To me, it's just a little bit not too practical. You know, 1 hour and then, you know, 1 hour this and 1 hour this. And so it takes me 4 hours to start my day. I try to keep it shorter, condensed, but I want to definitely articulate all of the things that I'm grateful for. And I don't do it every day. I got to be very honest, but I try to do it at least 4 to 5 times a week. When I literally voice aloud things that I'm grateful for that I'm taking for granted, like the beating heart is beating thousands of times a day, without ever asking for a break, without ever stopping. From day one since I was born, even before that, till the very last day that I will be on this earth. Mm-hmm. It's going to be keep beating eyes that allow me to see. And you know what? And I'm very sensitive about this. There's people that don't have that privilege. They don't have the ability. Allow me to see beautiful world, experience this world in its tremendously beautiful way. Ears allow me to hear music, sounds, and experience again something profound. That the mouth that gives me the voice, brain that allows me to think, to articulate, to be creative, to be, you know, passionate, whatever I want. That I have my mother that is still alive, still with me. I have my fiance. She is, you know, important to me. And when I do this, I feel so much better. Now my cup is full. Now I have things to give. So when I go out, we talked about it at the beginning of the presentation. Now I'm looking what I can give. I'm not looking what I can take. I'm not looking to get something out of me. I have so much that I can give. And I give that gratitude, love, appreciation, because I just gave it to myself and I give it to others. How can I serve? How can I help? And then, you know, world and universe is a very reciprocal place, and then I get back in return so much more.
Yeah.
But as a byproduct. And then, you know, sometimes just to finish it up, if I have time, I do some exercise, some vigorous exercise. If I can't go to the gym, I go to the gym. Sometimes those things change. Sometimes I go to the gym midday, sometimes, you know, late evening. Sometimes I'll go twice a day, just depending on the goal that I have with the gym. If I can't, I like to do cold shower then. I think it's also a very good way to get your body up, get your blood flow moving. But also you start your day with the win. Because when you go under that cold shower, you really don't really want to do it so often.
Yeah.
Especially if it's cold outside. You just go there and you do it. And you know what? I found a very good trick. If anyone is actually interested, anyone of your listeners, anyone interested, I have a little hack that I have found that actually I've spoken with some people that are very experienced in that, and they found it to be very useful.
Yeah.
Is I go under the cold shower, and I go to the coldest possible shower, and I open it up, and I keep it for 10 seconds, and I close it.
Okay.
And then I wait for 10 seconds and I open it up again. For some reason, I don't know what's happening biologically in the body, but that second wave is like warm water.
It's really?
Somehow body has the ability to adapt in those few seconds, and it's beautiful. I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy the first one, but it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, why am I doing this again? And then the thing is, and I discovered it by accident, because I was, you know, used to cold shower in the cold water. So I would open, give myself, you know, cold water, and then I would, you know, take a soap and I would soap myself, you know, put it on me. And I would open it again. I would be like, oh my gosh, you know, this is comfortable. This is great. I can stand here under this water for minutes without even thinking a beat. And then I started to explore that, and I realized that little break, that 10-second break, can work wonders to stay longer in the shower.
Do you listen to, I'm going to kill his name. Is it Wim Hof?
Yeah, Wim Hof. I've been to one of his seminars. I've heard him speak, saw him. He's outrageous. but, you know, that's a little caveat. but tremendously powerful human being. He has that's creativity, that's science, and that's belief and trust in what one person is capable, and he tapped into some incredible resources, and he's on a mission as well to share that. And I've seen the level and ability of his work, which is profound on a whole new level. But absolutely, I follow him, and I've learned so much from him.
Yeah, that it must have been amazing to go to his workshop. My husband follows him and does the breathing and the whole cold showers too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for anybody who's not familiar with him, you would obviously be able to tell more. Maybe you want to tell people just real quickly who he is.
Yeah, he's a person from Denmark, if I'm not mistaken. He had a misfortune of his wife taking her own life, and he was so depressed. He had four children that he had to take care of, and then he secluded himself. He was a social, emotional, destitute, and recluse, and he started to research ability to control our body with our mind, and he tapped into some resources and abilities that he can actually control with his mind his entire body. So he broke numerous records of actually being under ice, swimming, diving. He actually was running marathon in the Arctic Circle. He climbed Mount Everest in shorts.
Oh my God.
So over 8,000 meters, every time you pass it, that's called the dead zone. Over 8,000 meters, when you pass that, you need to have oxygen masks. He not only that he didn't have it, he was in shorts, and he didn't even have the T-shirt and flip flops. It was it's ridiculous. And it was all about how he has the ability to control complete function of his body with his breath and his mind. Then actually was challenged, and they said, well, you know, you're just used to cold. This is how, you know, you're the Iceman. Then he actually ran full marathon in Sahara Desert without drinking one drop of water.
What? So,
yeah, absolutely unbelievable. He studied by Stanford, you know, all the Ivy League university there, actually studying him incessantly to see what is he doing, what's the chemical, biochemical, you know, thing happening in the body, what he's doing with his mind, and they're seeing some really unprecedented things. But just to give him a little bit of a little bit of push as well here, and a little bit of credit, he had I think it was Kilimanjaro, okay, too, one of those big hills in Africa. He took some people, and you can actually check it on YouTube. That's going to be one of the first few videos that he has there. He actually took some people that are in mature age, you know, like 60 plus people that have never hiked, they've never went to any mountains, they had no understanding of his, you know, breathing exercises and all. And he took a bunch of them, like a dozen of them, and they trained for a couple weeks on the breathing and all that stuff, whatever they needed to do and to know. And he took them onto the mountain, and literally, you know, it's like over 5,000 meters, something like that, if I'm not mistaken, but very, very, very high. You know, you start in the bottom of the mountain, it's like spring, you go there, it's like full winter, it's like freezing, it's ice, it's ridiculous. And he actually took those people were also in shorts,
oh my God,
traveling with him, and every single person actually came to the top with him. It all about, you know, by the virtue of breathing and controlling things in their body with their mind. It's fascinating to say at least.
Oh my gosh, so friggin' inspiring. Breath, yes. Mind, oh my gosh. Okay,
creativity,
so
on a whole new level.
Whole new level, so, so inspiring. Okay, so we are getting to the top of the hour. So I wanna dive into the third question, which is really a sum up of everything that we've spoken about. But first, actually, I wanna acknowledge the people who are listening live. So thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you taking the time. Any questions, comments, please put them in the chat box and we will see them. So why is creativity even important, Albert?
Why is creativity important? Because I think it's the foundation of the evolutional advantage of human beings that have over any other species currently on this planet. Because we have the ability to challenge current notions, we have the ability to challenge status quo with our creativity, thinking forward, thinking in the future on what's possible. and we can actually advance and share that with others. So creativity is, if we don't have creativity, we will still think that the earth is flat. And I know some people think
that
the earth is still flat, but that's the propaganda. That's a whole new different story. but you know what I mean? It's necessary for us keep constantly moving to keep, because one of the things in life that we need, without going too deep into the human needs, we need to have uncertainty. We need to be surprised. We need to not know what's going to happen. That's the beautiful thing about life, because it's so short. You never know what's going to happen. And that's why we can enjoy it. And that's why creativity plays a vital role in life.
Keep constantly moving, need to be surprised. I want to challenge the audience in what you brought up before and saying how you carve time to be surprised. And I'm challenging you, put it in your calendar on the day, however you do it, whether you do a mental list, a written list, literally say, I am carving this time to be surprised. Meaning, just go with it. Go outside, go for a ride, listen to your gut. Like, whatever your gut is kind of telling you to do, just do it.
Gut. That's so powerful. Gut is one of the most powerful organs that we have.
It is, right? Like, how often do we just ignore it and question it? And is that real, or do I just have gas? You know, like, what's that feeling going on? And it's your gut that's kind of, until something finally smacks you on the head and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm listening.
Exactly. And something that I would say as well, to just, you know, couple with what you said, because it's so powerful, is it's like a muscle. Creativity is like a muscle. Mm-hmm. You have to exercise it, you know. And sometimes you're going to have that scheduled time and nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to come out of it. There's no going to be lessons extrapolated or whatever. But if you keep practicing, keep exercising, keep focusing on that, things will happen that will surprise you in a great way. It's just about being committed to it and exercising that muscle, because, you know, as the more you do it, it gets stronger and more powerful. You get more confident and you get to ride that wave, ride that flow.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's a really big point. It's not like every time that you do this, there's going to be some mind-blowing event that's going to happen. And that's a very important point to highlight. What my intention behind it is to say, by carving that time is giving you the permission to show that you're important, that in the sense of your sanity. And even if it's just breathing, even if it's just having your thoughts as you're just kind of hanging out, doing whatever, and your mind is racing, then you're like, okay, this is, you know, however you, I do this visualization where it's like on a cloud and I'm like, not time now, push it away. But it's like, it's a process. And by taking that time, which we kind of touched on before in the beginning, by connecting with yourself, allowing it, then you just connect so much better to the outside world. So it doesn't have to be this mind-blowing event every time.
No.
You know? So, Albert, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a LinkedIn, obviously, Albert Orsos. That's a very great way to connect with me, you know, in a business sense. I have Instagram as well. Albert Sales Loop, which is also something that people that follow your Instagram account, they can actually see me there. I think you tagged mm-hmm. me into mm-hmm. the post. And lately I'm spending a lot of time on Clubhouse. It's just, you know, Albert Loop. I'm on Clubhouse. If you want to connect with me on Clubhouse, you want to talk to me, you want to listen to, you know, what I got to say, once again, I would love to meet each and every one of you. And yeah, that's about it. I have as well a page, an internet page, sales.alorill.com. If anyone is interested in maybe exploring some of the things that I'm doing in terms of sales, coaching, influence, persuasion, if you want to go and see how you can go to the next level
in that area, this is something that you're curious about, you can check some resources that are there. There are free resources. There's obviously paid resources that you can engage me in. But yeah, definitely you can check that there.
Yeah. Well, Albert, I am so grateful. Albert and I met through Clubhouse, actually. And yeah, I'm just really grateful for the connection. And I so appreciate you taking this hour out of your life when there's so much going on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And my apologies if there's some background noise a little bit, because I'm not where I was intending to be. But I just had to, you know, I had to seclude myself over here, and I'm outside. So
it's fine.
Fantastic.
You hear nature, so it's all good. It's all good. So, yeah, so I want to acknowledge everybody listening. Again, thank you so much. This space is all about inspiring, connecting, and sharing. So please like, follow, and share so we can just spread the word and hear people's stories and inspire each other. And to me, Albert is talking so much about the word that kind of came up to me was humanness. Everything that you're talking about with actively listening and connecting and sharing, it's really the nature of being human. And just caring for each other. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for acknowledging me. Thank you for having me. I had a really beautiful hour. It was great connecting with you. And I want to wish all of your listeners a very beautiful end of the weekend, and have a blessed day. Thank you again, once again.
Thank you. So have a good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be talking again real soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Ciao, bye-bye.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, P-H-I-L-L-Y.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express